As we look at this passage in Hebrews in more detail, let's ask God for help. Father, we thank you for Jesus, that he died to bring us life, that he died to bring forgiveness. As we look at this passage today, just seal the truths of that on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In Bangladesh, there's a new regime governing the country. The previous Prime Minister, called Hakeena, has gone. And with that, those who were held in cells off the grid have been released. Some of them have found out where they were held. Qasim was jailed because he frequently criticised the Prime Minister. No court case, just taken off the streets, placed in a cell in a complex that was off the grid. The only reason it was found was he spent most of the time blindfolded and remembered the noise of planes. So they eventually unbricked an entrance near the airport at the military base and uncovered the cells. Qasim was in one of the least bad ones. Most you could not open your arms across. Some are 3 to 4 feet high. Qasim was held there. But now, finally, he is out. He's found a new life. And yet, there's still the fear of some of the people who put him there. He makes a point of wearing a hat and mask when he goes out because of this. But once those people who orchestrated this put on trial. There have been well over 500 cells found. And not all of those have come out as well as Qasim. Razul was also held in a cell where he was beaten. He was a student leader in an opposition party, the BNP. His father was a senior member. And Razul still suffers from the injuries and says the fear of the people who jailed him will be with him until he dies. But he's now living with family. It's a new start with all that that brings. And in the passage today that we're looking at, it speaks of a new covenant, a new agreement between man and God that Jesus coming and dying for us brings. How the old is no longer what we're living under. It's the new that is our lives. How this came into effect and the difference that this makes. The passage starts by focusing on Jesus. That he's a high priest, the high priest that really brings salvation. Because he's in the true sanctuary, seated at the right hand of God. 8 verse 1 reads, the point of what we're saying is this, we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, set up by the Lord, not by man. Jesus really saved. And this is demonstrated by where he served. Not in a human sanctuary, but one set up by God. He's a priest that sits at God's right hand. The position of power. Jesus is not a human priest. Human priests of the earthly variety offer sacrifices of worldly things. Of things dictated by the instruction in the Old Testament. This is in contrast to the one who serves in the heavenly temple. 8 verse 4. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary. This is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Jesus is not one that offers earthly offerings, offerings under the law. There are priests for that, descendants of Aaron, as we saw last week. Jesus doesn't need to and won't reduce himself to this. He's got a far greater role, a role not under rule and regulation, but a role under anointing by God. He's not a shadow or copy, but the real thing, the real sacrifice. And his ministries on a totally different level to theirs, bringing real reconciliation with God. Verse 6. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it's founded on better promises. For if there'd been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people. There's a direct comparison here. Jesus' ministry is superior to the other priests, just as the covenant, the agreement with God, is as superior. In fact, the old covenant has been found to be wrong. What's meant by this? We've all seen answers marked as incorrect. At times, we try things and they do not work. Whether a new way of working, a new employee doing something new. Church-wise, perhaps trying to set up a new group and it doesn't work. People are not attracted to it. But here, the old covenant has been tried and tested and found to be at fault. Now, what you might may ask is the problem. God set this up. So what can be wrong with it? Well, it's not the covenant itself, but the people who sought to follow it. Under it, God had to find fault with the people. The people that it was to instruct in how to relate with him. The old covenant was a set of instructions that people felt well short of following. They went their own way, they were unfaithful, they forgot, they ignored, they rejected God. Just like us, and God needs to deal with us. To save us, he needs a covenant that deals with our weaknesses, our faults. It needs to both transform us and remove the penalty for what we do wrong. That is not the old covenant. The old covenant does not have the ability to transform or remove the penalty. But that's what the new covenant done, the one that's ushered in by Jesus' death, as we remember today, and resurrection. Verse 10. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. There are two parts to the new covenant. First, rather than get to know God by reading a set of regulations, we will know him in person. There's a big difference between the two. Jennifer Lawrence, the actress, was once partying in a bar and saw Harrison Ford dancing on the other side of the room. She thought, we're in the same industry. He'll surely know me. She went over, and he totally ignored her. But in the group she was with, there was also someone called Jack Whitehall. You've probably not heard of him. And he chirped up, "I'll try my luck." The rest of the group were, "Look what Harrison did to Jennifer. Don't try it. What will he do to you?" But Jack got up anyway, and before he got 2 yards out of his chair, Harrison yelled, "Hey, Jack, come over." They'd done a commercial together some years before, and so knew each other. Not some theoretical knowledge. They hadn't seen each other's pictures or movies. They actually knew each other. And the wonderful thing that God does in the New Covenant is he grants us his Spirit. He draws us to him so we can know him personally, who he is, what he wants. His Spirit is with and in us. It is his Spirit that makes his word alive to us, that writes his word on our hearts, understanding who he is. But that's not all. God doesn't just enable us to know him. He also, through Jesus dying, forgave the times we go our own way, forgetting, ignoring, or rejecting God. These are not remembered by God as we're presented to him, clothed in Jesus' righteousness. That's what Good Friday's about, the forgiveness of sins, so we can know God. Previously, the priests, under the regulations of the law, made sacrifices that acknowledged theirs and the people's failings, seeking to redeem things done in ignorance. And we should note here, the sacrifices could not redeem for full-scale rebellion against God. And even today, rejecting him totally, choosing not to live out of belief in Christ, and getting to know our God, will lead, if carried through to the end, to not being welcome in the kingdom. In fact, the reflection of how the Old Covenant does not make us holy is that even the high priests could only enter the inner room once a year and would generally do so with a rope round their leg so they could be dragged out if God showed up. This was not a means to really draw near to God. 9 verse 8 reads, "The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time, including that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. They're only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations, applying until the time of the new order." The old is ceremonial. It was not the means by which people are saved. Instead, it's Jesus going into the heavenly sanctuary by means of his own blood that saves once for all. And this is not some outward cleansing, just washing off outward dirt. A bath cannot wash away a criminal's wrong deed, although it makes him clean outwardly. But Jesus' sacrifice really cleanses us. Verse 13, "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they're outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God?" It is here we see Jesus' death being so central because he was perfect and through the Spirit working, sacrificed himself. He did what the old covenant could not and cleanses our consciences, cleansed us from the effects of sin so we can respond and know the living God and serve him. It's because Jesus is the perfect man that he can stand before God representing us as a mediator, having offered his life for us. He's paid the ransom in full for all we have done, so we can know God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he's died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. It's in this set of verses that we get what is happening with Jesus' death. How we get our inheritance, but also how all people, both before and after Jesus, get their salvation. In the Old Testament, this was looked forward to. The Old Covenant looked forward to the ultimate sacrifice. The temple, the sanctuary, was just a copy of the real thing. But only the New Covenant came into effect just as the will applies when a person dies. So the salvation looked forward in the Old Covenant to what Jesus provided. It came into effect with his death by his blood. The previous covenant had the blood of calves sprinkled among the people. That's how covenants were done in those days, with blood representing that the lesser party were committing their lives on penalty of death. But for us, on Good Friday, Jesus' death brings a whole set of things. Brings the new covenant. Being able to know God in person, draw near to him, because of Jesus, we're given his Spirit. We're able to live for and serve him. It brings a forgiveness we do not deserve. The forgiveness and cleansing of sin. Verse 22 reads, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. What we remember on Good Friday is Jesus dying, the cost that brings forgiveness of sins. And this forgiveness demands a response. It enables us to represent God, his character and mercy shown in Jesus. It enables us to forgive others. In fact, it obligates us to do so. It saves us, brings us into relationship with God. Jesus dying on the cross demands us to respond to it by getting to know and living for God in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, for his death, and help us as we go out from here, to remember that, to remember the love you show us in having your Son die for us that we might live with him. Help us to live out of that, serving you. Jesus' name, Amen.